news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Chances are pretty good that by the time you hear this report, the Senate will have approved the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill. Once that's done, they'll immediately move on to begin considering the $3.5 trillion budget blueprint the Democrats released Monday. Senator Bernie Sanders, chair of the Senate Budget Committee, introduced that bill.
While some of our multi-billionaires are spending some of their enormous amounts of money flying off into outer space, today and in the coming days, we are going to address the crises facing working families right here on the ground on planet Earth. And that is why, Madam President, as chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, I am proud to introduce a $3.5 trillion budget resolution that we will soon be considering, I expect tomorrow. This is a budget resolution that will allow the Senate to move forward on a reconciliation bill that, in my view, will be the most consequential and comprehensive piece of legislation for working people, for the elderly, for the children, for the sick, and for the poor that this body has addressed since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the New Deal, in the 1930s.
The budget blueprint will pass using reconciliation. That requires only 50 votes, plus the vice president as the tiebreaker. Some of the help that Bernie referenced in that clip include 2 years of free community college, universal pre-kindergarten, expanded Medicare coverage of dental and vision, along with efforts to combat climate change and poverty. And it's all paid for mostly through higher taxes on profitable corporations and wealthy households. Now, the $3.5 trillion price tag is the ceiling. And the next step is for the moderate and progressive Democrats to figure out the actual measures and funding mechanisms. What we do know is that this resolution does not include lifting the nation's borrowing limit or debt ceiling. But if senators want to increase it now, they'd have to do it separately and with Republican votes. Stay tuned. COVID-19 cases among children have been on the rise in the U.S. since early July. Almost 94,000 cases among children were added in the past week alone, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. Most child cases don't require hospitalization, but CDC numbers show that that number is increasing. About 200 children with COVID-19 were admitted to U.S. hospitals every day over the past week. In some hotspots, like Orlando, Florida, children's hospitals are inundated with coronavirus patients, and they're bracing for worse waves once school begins in more places. Meanwhile, China has punished dozens of officials for failing to control the Delta outbreak as they struggle to contain the worst virus resurgence China has seen in over a year. In Australia, where they have had it under control pretty well, New South Wales, the most populous state, extended its lockdown as Sydney recorded its highest daily case count since the pandemic began. And here in the U.S., Florida continues to be the COVID-19 epicenter, with record numbers of new cases and rising hospitalizations just as schools begin their new year. But we have a governor who just seems unconcerned about it all. There's been a surge in severe cases among children, but Ron DeSantis still opposes vaccine and mask mandates. In fact, on Monday, he issued a new threat as school districts around the state announced that they will defy his ban on mask mandates. DeSantis, who had previously threatened to withhold funding for districts, is now threatening the salaries of school superintendents and school board members. This will not end well. Never one to take a backseat to Florida, Texas is the other state that seems to have fallen into opposite world. The superintendent of the Dallas School District and Austin School District announced Monday that staff, students, and visitors at both Dallas and Austin public schools will be required to wear face masks effective this week. In Houston, the board will vote on a mask requirement later this week. Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order in July barring public schools and other government entities from mandating masks. The CDC has advised that all people in K through 12 schools wear masks indoors. Texas is one of a half dozen states that have ordered schools to disregard that advice, even as the COVID-19 Delta variant is exploding. And now, members of the U.S. military will be required to get vaccinated beginning next month. This is a new plan laid out by the Pentagon, endorsed by President Biden. In memos distributed to all troops, the Pentagon leaders say the vaccine is a necessary step to maintain military readiness. Dr. Fauci has been making the rounds, and he is explaining why he thinks mask mandates are the way to go and believes they should be put in place, especially for teachers.
Yeah, I'm going to upset some people on this, but I think we should. I mean, we are in a critical situation now. We've had 615,000 plus deaths, and we are in a major surge now as we're going into the fall, into the school season. This is very serious business. You would wish that people would see why it's so important to get vaccinated. But you're not going to get mandates centrally from the federal government. But when you're talking about local mandates, mandates for schools, for teachers, for universities, for colleges, I'm sorry. I mean, I know people must like to have their individual freedom and not be told to do something. But I think we're in such a serious situation now that under certain circumstances, mandates should be done.
And finally, we're a month away from the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. The Department of Justice announced that it will review which previously withheld information or documents related to September 11th it can disclose to the public as pressure mounts to release them. Last week, more than 1,600 people affected by those attacks released a letter urging President Biden not to appear at Ground Zero in New York to mark the anniversary of that day unless he releases more documents and information that the government had previously blocked. One of the signees, Brett Eagleson, whose father was killed in the World Trade Center, told CNN on Friday that the group wants to know whether the documents reveal any information on the alleged role of the Saudi Arabian government in the attacks. Biden praised the decision by the DOJ to review the information, saying it delivered on a campaign promise to release more 9/11 records. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.